To open up and kick off this series, I'd love to invite a dear friend of mine, a person you all love. Welcome to the stage, Mr. Dale Wallace.
Wow, it's hard to follow that. Goodness gracious. I love it. All right, so going along with our theme of Fail-tober, I'm going to open up with a little bit of a story. Just after I moved from Dallas to Waco, I had a group of friends that convinced me to run in what is called a triathlon, okay? Who knows what are the three components of a triathlon? Yes.
Oh, biking. So,
biking, that's one of three. Okay, what else? Go ahead, speak.
Swimming,
running. Okay. Does anyone know the order? Swim, bike, run. I heard it. Swim, bike, run. Okay, so I got convinced to do this triathlon in Waco. I'm wearing the shirt just to remind you that I did this, okay? And it also is to symbolize that I finished it. Anyways, long story short, you need to know that I just didn't know what I was getting myself into. And so all my friends come from around the country to Waco to run this race. And the night before, we're kind of being men, we're eating pasta, we're carbo loading. For those that are interested in triathlons in the future, take notes. Carbo load the night before, hydrate up, big time, all this stuff. Okay, so you know the drill, we're talking. And then we're kind of like also like, as men, we like to compare the way that we've like prepared for this event. We're like, how much did you train? What pace were you running at? And we kind of had this thing where we had all agreed that we're going to run this race together. And I'm like, I can do that. If we're all going to be in this together, like I've seen High School Musical, I'm for that. Okay. So I'm like, if we're all in this together, like I'm good with that. And we get to the table and these people start telling me about like the way they've been training. And I realize that I had not been training as much as all of my friends had from across the country, okay? And so at one point, it gets to me sharing how much I've been training, and the reality was I like to bike, and I like to run, and I like to do that on occasion. Like a few times a week is good for on a really good week, and that's not a normal week, okay? And so and then they kind of ask me, like I talk about how I run and I bike, and then they're like, so how much have you swam in preparation for this? And I'm like, well, I think I've practiced like twice for the swim. And they're like, well, Dale, that's really concerning. I'm like, why is that concerning? I'm an athlete. Look at me. Are you questioning my abilities right now? And as a man, you're like, I'm like very defensive at this point at dinner. And they're like, no, but seriously, you're swimming. How many of you like swimming? Okay. How many of you like swimming a mile? What? No. Nobody likes swimming a mile, okay? It's not a normal thing, okay? And so, long story short, again, I get in the water the next morning, and I'm like, okay, here we go. It's the first time I've ever worn a swim cap, first time I've really ever worn goggles, and I'm like, this is awesome. 30 seconds in, I'm like, backstroke. This is not as awesome as I thought it was. I'm like, very quickly on a backstroke, and that's not a good sign in your first leg of the race. And then it really was pathetic because shortly after that, I went to like the frog. We all know the backstroke frog where we're like this. And it's what that says I'm desperate. Okay, that doesn't say you're running the race. That means you're in trouble. Okay, and so I'm like trying out different strokes in the water because I am struggling. Okay, and long story short, again, I am the last person out of the water in a race. Here's a fun fact. You don't want to be the last one out of the water, okay? And so I, much like Sean, have like this crowd that has come from all parts of Waco to watch me come out of the water because I'm the last one. So I've started to get this pity clap. Like people are like, let's go. We got to encourage this guy who is alone in the water. And they're like taking the buoys out of the water. There is a jet ski and a kayak on either side of me because they are actually worried that I was going to drown. Okay. And so I'm like, this is so embarrassing. People are watching too. They're clapping. I don't know what to do. And all about that same time, I'm getting out of the water and I start cramping. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the first leg of the race. Like I haven't even gotten on a bike and I haven't run yet. And so I'm getting out of the water, a pity clap. Everyone's like really giving me some energy. There's a lot of encouragement going on. I start running up the stairs and I realize I'm cramping. So I have to stop and I start cramping. Y'all, I'll guard your hearts. Okay. I'm like stretching like this. And right about the same time I start cramping, I realize I'm about to puke. So I start puking. And so I'll save you the gruesome images, but the ladies and the moms that were like watching and went from like, we're so proud of you. We're like, oh, medic. And I'm like, there actually might be a medic close enough. Like this might be helpful. And this medic comes up. He's like, okay, Do you have salt pills? I'm like, I don't know what a salt pill is. Do you have this goo stuff? I'm like, what goo? How was I supposed to know about the goo, okay? And he's like, do you have these things that you need to run this race? And I'm like, no, I don't have these things. I have water and a Clif Bar like a normal human, okay? Like, what do you mean I need these things, these extra things? And he's like, well, have you trained for this race? And I was like, not really, especially not for the swimming. And he's like, well, son, I don't think you should continue going. And he's like, I'm going to go get you some of these things. And then I'll stop there. Long story short, again, I have the shirt. I finished, okay? And so what you need to know is I openly chose. The reason I tell you that is because I openly chose to neglect the thing that I hated the most. I was totally cool with biking and running any day of the week. And frankly, any distance. And I loved doing that. Like, I could do that. I brought life to me. But what I failed to do was to tackle the one thing that was the hardest, and especially for me. And I think today, as we jump into this new series called How to Open Your Bible and Not Just Point to a Random Verse, we're going to go through three different parts: observation, interpretation, and application. And I get to talk today about observation. And I also just happen to think that it is the part that we neglect the most. I think it's the thing that we don't practice. I think it's the thing that if we actually get to our Bibles, we usually read it, we point to it, read it, and we say, that's what I needed today, and we go on to the next, just as the song said. I believe that. And so today we're going to just jump into observation, and we're going to learn how to better ask the question, what do you see? Okay? So today, and really this is important because today you'll learn how to better observe. And the more you observe, the more you'll be able to interpret and apply. Okay? So the more you observe and the better you observe, the more you will be able to interpret and apply. As we work through this series, this is very important, foundational. If you're not observing, you're not reading, first of all. Okay? And so this is going to feel very, very basic. And the reality is, it is basic, but we tend to forget it. And so we're going to jump in today. And really, last thing, how many of us have read our Bibles and like been like, okay, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and have a touch with our hands concerning the word of life, life was made manifest, and we've seen it, testified to it, proclaimed to the eternal life, which the Father made manifest to us. That's 1 John 1, 1 through 3. Like, how many of us are like, read that? Check that box, on to the next, don't really know what that means. How many of us have just read it and been like, by noon, we're like, I don't know what I read, but I checked that box. Okay, a few of us have read our Bibles and by noon forgotten what it said. That's like me every other day. And the reality is, it's because we neglect observing. We very quickly open it up and say, what does this have to say to me? And we forget to say, hey, what does it just say? We jump, we're very selfish by nature, and I'm king of this. We're very selfish. We want it to be about us. We make it about us too quickly, and we forget what it actually says, okay? And so today's going to be very weird. It will feel weird. You won't walk away with too much. Our goal is really just to become a little bit better at observing, because with time and with practice and with our small groups and with in different ways, we will become better at this. So if all of you could turn to 1 John 1, we're going to be going through verses 1 through 10. What you'll also notice is underneath your seats, there is 1 John 1 and a pen. And I'd love for you to use that. I'd love for nobody to get out their phones to turn to the Bible today. I'd love to just remove all distractions. Okay? As y'all pull that out, we're going to be working through verses 1 through 10 as you see on your sheet of paper. And we are going to take some time to observe. I'm actually going to give you a few minutes, and you are going to take notes. You are going to underline what you think needs to be underlined. You're going to focus. You are not going to get out your phones. If you need an extra sheet of paper, let Lindsay or Rebe know. We can get them to you. If you need a pen, we can get them to you. We're going to just start by practicing observing. What are we doing? Okay, and what's the question we're asking? Does anyone remember? Yes. How not to point to a random verse and just read it. That's good. We're going to be asking, as we read this, What do we see? Okay? Observing is answering the question, what do you see? Okay? So I'm going to give you a few minutes. Let's stay silent, and I'll give you about a 30-second warning when it's about time, okay? Ready? Go. All right. All right, let's turn our attention back up here, finish up that sentence that you're working on or point. Now, at the risk of it getting ratchet in here, I'm going to ask the question, what did you see? I'm going to start over here. What do we see? Yes. Anyone can speak. God is light. God is light. Good. There's no darkness in him. Good. If we walk in the light, we walk with him. Good. If you say you have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Good. All right, let's go to the middle section. Your turn. What do we got? Yes. Yes. If we confess, he can forgive us and cleanse us. Yes, exactly. What else do we have from this? Yes.
If we say we haven't sinned, we're calling him a liar.
That's wonderful. That's big. Calling God a liar. Anything else from this section? Yes. Yes. If we confess our sins, he forgives us. Okay, what about over here? Yes. Yes. We shouldn't lie about what God says about us. We can't lie. Yes. We shouldn't deceive ourselves into thinking that we're perfect. That's really good. We have done all these things to have a relationship with him, fellowship with him. You're talking about verse 4?
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Yes?
We may have joy with God.
Okay. So those are all excellent things. Those are a lot of good things and good observations. I'm going to give you a slide that I would love for you to write down a lot of. You don't have to write all of them down. But there's a slide with a bunch of different things that we can be looking for as we observe, okay? And I think there's some things that we didn't answer. So let's turn our attention to this slide. Excuse me. And there you go. So here are some things that we need to be mindful of. We need to be mindful of context, the five W's, who, what, where, when, and why, repetition. Nobody said that the word we or the words we, us, our were used over a dozen times in the first four verses. We got contrast. We have light and darkness. That's a very strong contrast. We mentioned that. Those are some things that we saw. Comparison. List. Cause and effect. What should you underline? There's a lot of you answered a lot of the things that we would underline. There's some other things that we need to be mindful of. What are some key words that we saw? Anybody? Yes?
Joy.
Joy. Really good.
Seeing.
Good. Fellowship, strong. What else? There could be more.
Proclaim.
Righteousness. Great. And then figures of speech we need to be mindful of. Conjunctions. Look for big buts. That's the way I always say it. Tense and voice. Dialogue. General to specific. Question and answer. What are some themes? We mentioned them already, but worth mentioning again.
Truth.
Fellowship. God. Light. Okay, unusual words. Was there anything that you circled and you just said, hey, I don't know what this means? Anybody? Okay, so I can ask the question, if anyone has an ESV, in verse 2, it says the word manifest. Can everyone define the word manifest? Who wants to? I certainly don't. Would you like to try? Say it again. Expand on something. Okay. So that's a good question. We kind of read over the word manifest. We just kind of assume we know what it means. Am I right? It's one of those Christianese things that we could probably even use and maybe not even be able to define. Okay. So here are just some things that we should be mindful of as we ask the question, what do you see? And the reason why I don't do this in front of you and have a whiteboard and show you is because we just need to practice it ourselves. it's not going to be that helpful for me to show you how I do it, when in reality, it's just something that we train for, that we take time, that we work with. And even in our small groups this week, we are going to spend time. So I would invite everyone to take that piece of paper from 1 John, and I'd put it in 1 John, and I'd save it for small group. So that way, you show up to small group, you're not distracted by your phones, and you can immediately jump right in to maybe even answering more of the questions. Because how many of us, like after 2 minutes, we're like, that's all I got. I took enough notes, and I took a few things, and I kind of saw everything there was to see. How many of us were like that? A few of us? The reality is, too often we read through something, underline a few things. We're like, oh, I would highlight that. That's nice. That feels nice. God is light. That's good. That's strong right there. And not that it's not, but a lot of times we just leave it at that. Verses 1 through 4 talked about God's preexistence. And verses 5 through 10 talked about how God has the perfect, he's a perfect light. These are huge themes. And knowing these things, as we read the book of 1 John, you mentioned some themes that we're going to see. If we read this book of 1 John, we're going to understand how to better have fellowship, not just with each other, but also with God. And we're going to also know how to find fullness of joy. Those are really important things for us to be mindful of as we're working through the book of 1 John. And so as we work through this series, the encouragement is you don't just have to open your Bibles in the morning and turn to a psalm or a proverb and make it what your day's about, okay? We're encouraging you to turn to 1 John. And as a crew, as a squad, we're going to work through this together, okay? We're just going to learn how to get better and better. We're going to practice, we're going to practice, we're going to practice. And I'd love to close today with just sharing with you three obstacles to observation that I would see, that I see in my own life, okay? Three obstacles to observation. First, I'd like to point out that these obstacles are both getting to our Bibles themselves, and they're also obstacles when we actually get to our Bibles, okay? The first obstacle is that we don't think we have time to observe, and we also don't really think we have time to get in the Word. How many of us have that thought? We don't really have time, kind of got to wake up, kind of got to get to practice, kind of got to get to school, whatever. We don't think we have the time. That's our first obstacle. Our second obstacle is we don't understand the benefits. We don't understand the benefits. We don't understand the benefits of being in God's Word. And once we're in God's Word, we so quickly jump over the fact that it just talked about God's preexistence and God's perfect light, and we might not even have realized that as we observed it. We don't understand the benefits. And the last obstacle to observation is, hey, we don't have the desire. And those all kind of go hand in hand. I understand that. But these just happen to be the three biggest personal obstacles to observation for me. And so I have three kind of responses. And really this comes into effect also. We don't think we have the time. When we're actually in our Bible, we speed through. How many of us have sped through? We love speed reading. It's like a thing in school they teach now, and too often we apply it to the way we read the Bible, okay? And or we make it about us too quick. And then lastly, how many of us desire a quick fix instead of just daily faithfulness? It's all of us for the most part. That's our tendency. And so our responses are, hey, slow down. You can write that down. You should write it on your hand. Harrison should write it on his forehead, okay? Slow down. Check your priorities. Check your priorities. Second, we don't understand the benefits. In response to not understanding the benefits, we must know why. We must understand that spending time in God's Word is spending time with Jesus. We must understand the benefit of that. The benefit of that is the more time you spend observing and learning more of God's character, the more we'll be able to interpret and apply it in our own lives, the more we can become more like Him as we learn more of who He is. So we must know the why. We must know the benefit. And really, we know the benefits. We just choose to forget them most days of the week. We choose to just not make it a priority. And then lastly, we don't have the desire. What I would encourage everyone with, this week especially, is that the discipline precedes the desire.
The discipline of spending time in God's word precedes the desire. Because at first, it's never going to be that comfortable to start a habit. It's never easy to start a new habit. It's not that easy. And so know that the discipline will precede the desire, especially as you start the discipline, pray that you would love and cherish that time. Pray that you would love and cherish that time and that you would desire it. And not just desire a quick fix, but desire to spend more time with the Lord so you can better understand him and better and more become more like him in our time with him. And so today, again, is a little bit awkward because observing is kind of awkward. All three of these kind of go together, observation, interpretation, application. And I have done my best not to touch the text other than just to observe it with you, point things out together, and I am not going to interpret or apply anything except for this moment. In this moment, I'm going to point out that verses 1 through 10 talk a lot about Jesus and talk a lot about God. And what you need to know is if we fail to observe well as we work through even 1 John, we may fail to see Christ. If we fail to observe well, we'll fail to see Christ. And we must know the importance of seeing Christ, being reminded of his goodness and his grace daily. Okay? We must approach God's word as if our lives depended on it, because our lives do depend on it, because in him is the way, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? And so this was like just a weirdly practical day, but the reality is outside of God's word, or spending time in God's word is exactly how we spend time with the Lord and spend time with Jesus and getting to know him and love him and serve him better. And so my application is to remind you of Jesus and then also just encourage you to observe this week. Spend time in God's word, make the time, know the benefits, have the discipline precede the desire, and then one day when you're competing in the race, you won't be last out of the water. You'll be trained. You'll have all the salt pills and the goo and all the gel you need to run the race well. You won't be cramping. You won't get pity claps. You'll be setting the pace. You won't be the laughingstock like Sean and I were, as I was in the triathlon and Sean was running hurdles. We won't be that. We'll know him. We'll love him. Not just will we run the race well, but we will love running the race well, not for our own glory, but ultimately for God's glory. And in the end, as Sean always says, for our good. And so I hope that we'll leave today just a little bit better at observing. I hope we leave today with the reminder that we need to slow down. We got to know the why and know why we spend time with the Lord and just have the discipline to jump in so that we could have the desire to spend time with him. And so I'm going to pray and then y'all will be dismissed.